This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
It's 10 p.m. and that is Mon Just Thing there. That it is the QPR fan show here on Love Sport. Me, Matt Beadle, with you for another hour here on Love Sport London. QPR first, and then at 10:30, it is Luton Town. But right now, it is all about the hoops. We're going to be reflecting on the FA Cup defeat last Friday against Sheffield Wednesday. We're going to be looking ahead to the game with Blackburn tomorrow and then the clash with Bristol City at the weekend. I'm joined by QPR fans Colin Clark and James Norris. Hello, Colin.
Good evening, Matt. How are you?
Very good, thank you. Great to have you on the line. Hello, James.
Hello, how are we?
Yeah, very good, thank you, boys. Thank you for coming on for your debut here on the QPR Fan Show. Looking forward to the next half hour or so. And before we get into everything, fellas, we got to touch on a certain Naki Wells, recalled by Burnley. 6 goals in his last 4 games. It's 15 in all competitions this season. Now, Colin, I'm going to come to you first on this because I smell a rat here, and it's a ginger rat by the name of Sean Dyche, because he's thinking, do you know what? We're going to get Naki back at this club. We're absolutely not going to play him because he hasn't started a competitive game since signing in 2017, but they are smelling a few pound notes, aren't they?
Well, of course they are, yeah. He's been on form for us all season, really. I was happy to see him come back. He was looking class towards the end of last season. A lot of supporters weren't giving him much love, to be honest with you, because I don't think his scoring rate was that, but he's 100% trier. And come back this season, and he's been nothing but brilliant every game he's played. He's scored plenty of goals. He gives 100%, and of course, when you're top scorer of a club you're on loan, obviously other clubs are going to come sniffing around. So, a bit of a shame, but it is what it is, I think.
What do you make of this, James? Because Colin there saying, of course, it is what it is. Nottingham Forest apparently interested in Naki Wells too. I know that the club have come out and said, listen, we don't normally talk about transfer targets. We don't like to talk about other players. But Naki, without a shadow of a doubt, is a player that we want to bring back to the club. I'm presuming, James, as a fan, you want to see him back at the club.
Yeah, I mean, I think the club have got a history of being very naive in this situation. And, I think if we... You know, we were expecting him to, run down his contract and get him for free in the summer. I'm sure if we'd have gone in with, £1 million bid in December for January, I'm sure it'd all be done and dusted by now. He's obviously been scoring goals. He's going to attract interest. That's what's happened. You can't blame Burnley in this situation, can you? He's their player. They've invested in that player. They brought him through. He's not playing. He's their player. Why shouldn't they cash in on him? If he doesn't come back to QPR, which is looking, I wouldn't say dead in the water, I still believe his preference is to come back to Rangers. But they've got to cash in. Why shouldn't they? It's just the way that we always seem to play these situations. You know, if you look, we've got a history of paying a lot of money for garbage. We've got a history of selling good players for diddly squat. And this looks like another one where, you know, we've been very naive. I mean, I don't think there's an Arsenal fan that would say that, you know, it wouldn't be worth paying £1 million for Naki Wells. If we'd have put that bid in December, I'm sure it'd be done and dusted, like I said earlier. So the club have made themselves look a little bit embarrassing. And I think that's why Lee Hoos has made a comment on the website today saying our valuations are way out. That's because they've allowed it to get to that situation.
It's a funny odd situation, isn't it, with loans? And I've often thought that for certain clubs, it can be a bit of a cop-out, trying to avoid not spending money on someone who might turn out to be a flop. But I think a few clubs have been caught cold this season. You look at Swindon with Owen Doyle and Jerry Yates in particular, of course, getting those players in on loan. And I know there are mitigating circumstances with some clubs because you just don't have the money and that's why the loan system is there. But like you say, if the club hadn't dawdled, James, and actually gone, do you know what, is £1 million in the summer, Burnley probably would have taken it.
I'm not even talking the summer, though. I think if they'd have done it in, you know, there didn't seem to be any, you know, race for, you know, to Dyche to bring him back. I think if he'd done it in November, December, you know, well, to be fair, in the summer, it was a little bit of a gamble because he wasn't on form, like Colin said last season, you know, towards the end of it. But whilst he was on form, whilst he's scoring goals, he's going to generate interest, isn't he? Rangers could have gone in November, December, bang, £1 million, put it to bed. But, you know, we tried to be clever. And if we do buy him, it's going to cost us more money. And if we lose him, it's going to serve us right for being naive again in the transfer window.
So, Colin, with regards to that, if he does go, that's, you know, a lot of goals this season. I said they're 15 in all competitions. We've got Jordan Hugill, of course, just 5 left on 10. Now, he's come out and spoken recently, hasn't he, about the fact that, you know, he's going to stay at QPR until the end of the season. That's what he's seeing for his immediate future. David Moyes, though, back in at West Ham, the manager who brought him in as a, you know, potentially a panic buy. That's what it's ultimately seen now as from West Ham fans. But he's come out and said, you know, hopefully I can do well here and then maybe I can go back to West Ham and prove David Moyes right for bringing me in. I mean, Jordan Hugill, is this a potential option for a permanent signing, in your opinion?
It's a very good question. I like Jordan this season. I think he scored a few goals as well, but he seems to miss an awful lot. I don't know. His hit ratio seems to be about 5-1, doesn't it? But I like him. He's a tryer. I think he holds the ball up well. I think he plays better with another striker alongside him. I liked him when he played with Wells. He seemed to hold the ball up well and play other players into the game. Perhaps that's what they're looking at. Probably like bringing Eze back into the and playing laying the ball off for Eze. I don't know. I'm sorry, I'm a bit nervous.
No, you're right, Colin. I mean, well, listen, let's discuss transfers on that note then. Of course, we've got a potential Naki Wells-shaped hole up front. We're talking Jordan Hugill there. Of course, Jack Clark has come in. There haven't been many incomings at the moment. If we were to have to get a striker, who would you like to see come in? Or where else on the pitch would you like to see Mark Warburton strengthen?
Well, obviously, everybody's looking at the defence. And so, obviously, we've let a damn sight more goals in than anybody would have liked to. We scored, I think we're the second highest scorers in the league and probably the 23rd highest goals let in as well, which is really why we're in the position we're in. I think the defence needs to be sorted out more so than the striker situation. I think we've got sort of a really good attacking sort of side, but the defence just seems to be letting us down.
Yeah, absolutely, Colin. I mean, we've had a tweet in from Alan Hendricks who said, shame about our goalie, Joe Lumley. We've spoken about the goalkeeper situation a few times on this show over the past few weeks. He has said, either start with Kelly or get a new number one and a few defenders, please. James, I'm going to come to you on this one. By the way, if you want to drop us a line, it's very easy to do so. 0208 7020 558. You can WhatsApp us on that number too or tweet us at Love Sport Radio. But James, James, Alan there saying that start with Liam Kelly or get a few defenders in as well.
Yeah, well, a few defenders. I think, you know, obviously we've had quite a big overhaul in the summer anyway. And I think most people that have got half a footballing brain, you know, think that Warbs is doing a good job. Some of the football we're, you know, we're playing has been lovely. Playing out the back, I personally don't mind that. If it's going to cost you one goal every now and then by playing out the back, then I'm happy. I think the problem is it was costing us a bit more. You know, the young lad Marston's come in from Liverpool the last few games, and he's been great. I would still, you know, a lot of people, you know, they've been saying on social media, well, you can't just go out and get these defenders. I'm sure, you know, there's got to be, you know, five or six good centre-backs that we could choose from, you know, from the likes of Liverpool, Man City, United, Tottenham, you know, that are not good enough to play in their first team. You know, that would be more than capable to, you know, I'm not necessarily going to say to start every game for us, because I think they should have to work their way in it. But the centre back position, without a doubt, is almost every single goal we let in. It's like the goals that we score are fantastic. You know, we open teams up. You know, we play some great one touch stuff. The goals we let in are, you know, they're shocking. If we'd have had another decent centre back, we would comfortably be in that playoff, in one of those playoff positions by now. So I think even one centre back would be massive. And I think, yeah, I mean, Lumley has been very, very poor of late. You know, he's cost us a lot of goals. I think, you know, give Kelly a shot between now and the end of the season, and then maybe look at bringing in another keeper in the summer, because that has been a bit worrying.
Yeah,
it's... I think the thing is, we've been so exciting going forward. I didn't expect us to be this good coming forward. That's what we have been. But we've been probably 10 times worse defending than any Arsenal fan probably would have expected.
Yeah, I completely agree with you there. And the goalkeeper situation, again, just to reiterate on it, I know we've spoken about it a lot in recent shows, but Joe Lumley, because for the most part, his distribution is on point in terms of his sidewinder, in terms of him being able to ping it. And I know that he's contributed to a few goals. I know there was a couple of errors earlier on in the season. But this is the thing now. These managers want this modern goalkeeper. And sometimes they're willing to sacrifice even a goal or two if they know that because of playing out from the back, especially the way that Joe Lumley can do, it can ultimately lead in potentially 3, 4, or 5. What we did see with regards to the defensive arrangement, of course, last Friday was, I don't know, whether they just fell asleep, James. Of course, the Morgan Fox goal, he just seemed to wander in no man's land. And even Joe looked a bit sleepy at the time and kind of just looked a bit matter-of-fact when it squirmed between his legs.
Yeah, it was a very, very poor goal. I mean, Kane seemed to be picking up performances. I think the game against Leeds, he played well, but he totally lost his man there, didn't he? And it wasn't even a powerful shot. It just sort of rolled under him. And, you know, I mean, a few Ars fans were a bit angry. He was joking at the final whistle with the... I think they did a comparison. Naki was gutted. We're out the cup. He was sitting on the ground holding his head. And Joel Lumley there was sitting there having a joke with the, you know, with the Wednesday players. And, you know, you've just gone out the fourth round. You could get a cracking draw, you know, if you win that. So, you know, I'd like to see the players that are hurting, you know, should be gutted that they've gone out the cup. It's the oldest cup competition in the world. So laughing and joking at the final whistle, it doesn't really give a good impression, does it?
It certainly does not. Sometimes you wonder, don't you, with these players? It's almost like they forget there are multiple cameras on them. This is the QPR Fan Show here on Love Sport. Next up, we're going to be looking ahead to those games with Blackburn and Bristol City.
For the fans, by the fans, Love Sport Radio.
QPR Fan Show here on Love Sport. Me, Matt Beadle, with you through to 11 p.m. this evening. Right now, we are talking all things the Ars. Next up, it is Luton Town from 10:30. I'm joined by QPR fans Colin Clark and James Norris. Right now, we are discussing transfers and we're going to be looking ahead to the game, of course, with Blackburn tomorrow. I believe we have a caller on the line too. Yes, we do. Addy, a QPR fan, has called in. Hello, Addy.
Yeah, how you doing, gentlemen? You okay?
Yeah, we're very good, thank you, buddy. What would you like to talk about?
Well, I'm sorry to hear that Naki Wells has left, you know. But I reckon, you know, like the gentleman alluded to, you know, our defence has wasted all the goals that he's scored for us. Because as he said, if you convert it into points, I mean, we've been in the playoff place already, you know. So So I don't think, it's sad that he's leaving, but I think we've been dithering, as the correspondent then said, dithering, we should have bid it. We've got the, I don't know why we ain't got the fund, because the club has been mismanaged over the last 10 years, you know? I think Fernandez, although he's got good intention, he has actually run the club to the ground, you know? But there's no money. Dithering. Now we've lost our leading goal scorer, you know?
Do you agree with that, James, that the club's been running to the ground?
Where'd you start? I think if you intentionally went out to mess up a business, you couldn't do it any better. I think, has he got good intentions? I think, yes, to a degree. But I think a lot of it was about his own ego. I think he kind of... he's shown so much naivety. At the end of the day, okay, it's football, but he's still a half-sensible businessman. You know, he's getting involved. Everybody knows what the world of, you know, transfers is like. You hear about these agents being sharks and everything. You know, he wasn't born yesterday. He has let himself have his absolute pants pulled down. And, now he's saying, patience. He sent a tweet out last week or the week before. I was very, very close to replying to it. It was the most embarrassing tweet I've ever actually seen. He was talking about all the academy players that are in the first team. There isn't a single academy player in the QPR first team. He's thinking that Ezzy's an academy graduate. He's not. He's thinking that Bright Samuel's an academy graduate. He's not. He's thinking that Chair's an academy graduate. We've picked these kids up from other clubs. And if your chairman, if your owner doesn't know that, what hope has the club got moving forward?
That's complete insanity, isn't it? Addy, just before you go, boss, what's the answer here?
Well, I mean, you should sell the club to the Mittal. I mean, you got Amit Bakir there, who's representing Mittal, the Bashmir Mittal. I mean, he would have come up with the money. How much do Burnley want for Naki Wells? Is 6 million? I mean, something has to be done. I agree with it with the correspondent that we that the defence is the main problem. You know, the defence that we need to strengthen. You know, in order to go forward. You know.
Absolutely. Addy, thank you very much for joining us there. Addy is not a fan of the QPR defence. He tends to always go straight for the jugular with the QPR defence. But James, just to come back to you on that. Now, we have a series of fan shows here on Love Sport. Before you guys, we had the Leyton Orient fan show and we had the chief executive, Danny Macklin. And he was here in the studio with the fans, you know, talking about the club. Yes, a lot of it was about the business side of the club, but still, he's talking about the club and what it means to him potentially. He wasn't a Leyton Orient fan. He didn't grow up as a Leyton Orient fan, but he's become part of the club. And as a result, he wants to see what's best for the club. As fans, really, for yourself, that's all you really ask for.
Totally. You know, you're talking about your Jamie Mackey type player, your Gareth Ainsworth player. You know, they weren't the most skillful, but they leave everything out on the pitch. They're the sort of people that, you know, they bleed blue and white. They're the sort of people you want to see coming through the club. They're the sort of people you want to see us going into the transfer market. I mean, we must have retired quite a lot of, during that 2012-2013 relegation season. I mean, rumours are, you know, we had 3 or 4 players that were earning over 100K. Players weren't turning up to training. You know, and that's because, you know, the likes of Fernandez have allowed themselves to, you know, allowed the whole infrastructure to disappear. They've allowed, you know, agents to come in and rip us off. They say it's getting better. Be patient. But, you know, how long can you be patient for? You know, he promises a new stadium. Why did he do that? Why didn't he go out and get it sorted out first before opening his mouth? Promises in 2012, he promised a new training ground. That still hasn't even broken ground yet, I don't think. It's 2020. You know, this, but they don't understand when fans are frustrated. You know, fans spend a lot of money, you know, travelling around the country to watch them. It's been a painful period with Rangers. It really has.
Colin, you're back on the line with us now. I think the tough thing here is those realistic expectations, isn't it? And that's the problem when a lot of these guys come in and they take over football clubs and they say, we want to be in the Premier League within 3 years. We want to be a Champions League club. Like James just said there, he's talking about the training ground. None of this is coming to fruition. It's almost broken promises, these ridiculous dreams that never actually bear fruit. You just kind of want realistic expectations. Do you agree, Colin?
Yes, well, of course I do, yeah. I mean, it depends on your expectations, doesn't it? I mean, when they took over the club, we'd just gone up into the Premier League, and we with Warnock and everything, it was fantastic. They sold the club to Fernandez, and I don't want to sit here and say that he's done a great job with the club, because in no uncertain terms, I would get slaughtered for that. But I think at the beginning, he was just very, very naive. He didn't know how to run a football club. People would say he doesn't know how to run a football club now. But I think right at the beginning, that in the first couple of years, yes, the expectations of everybody were risen. We were signing players from here, there and everywhere. When he sacked Neil Warnock, that nobody understood why the hell he did, and brought Mark Hughes in, it's just like the floodgates of stupidity opened. But nobody back then was saying, why the hell are we doing this? We were all lapping it up. We was, oh, look at these players coming in. It's fantastic. QPR, you know, a big Premier League club. And unfortunately, it just went completely sour. And I think, I mean, they've kind of stayed here and stuck with it. They could have easily bailed out, couldn't they? I think now they're doing their very best to try and get us on an even keel and in the financial situation where we can work our way back up to those good times again.
Interesting, Colin. James, this is good, gents, because kind of getting not both sides of the story, but often you hear fans and you take the James version where it's you know, this isn't right, the Addy version where this is right, and Colin, I suppose you're coming in with a slightly more reasoned perspective. What do you make of that, James?
No, I don't agree with Colin at all. I like Colin, he's a good bloke, but they're businessmen.
Yeah.
They walk away from QPR. The next big venture they get into, people are going to have no respect for them, are they? They're going to say, hang on, you're the sort of guys that jump around. You know, you get into something and jump out. You know, these are business people. Now, there's probably not a sports business that is more high profile than football. So if they go into QPR, they dabble and they get out again, the next big thing they're going to go into, they're going to go, no, sorry, Mr. Fernandez, you're the sort of wishy-washy guy that, you know, jumps into things and then gets out. I don't think they've got any choice. I think the debt's too big. And in terms of running it now on a sound financial footing, they have to. That's FFP. I'm sure. Yeah. I'm pretty sure if they could, you know, spend it differently, they would do. The rules. I mean, they didn't obey the rules first time round. That's why we got, that's why we got into the trouble that we did. You know, I think in the playoff final, they worked out that our wage bill was 8 times higher than what Derby's was. You know. And, you know, they're talking about investing in the academy and that. Where's these players? Where are these players? There's not one in the first team. If you look at the players that did come through before, the likes of Furlong and that, they were, you know, that was a preview. That was Steve Gannon and co that brought those guys through. So it's, you know, if you don't even know that you haven't got academy players in the first team, how can you say you're running the club properly? Shouldn't the chairman know that?
He should, James. And I tell you what, fellas, we haven't even had a chance to get into Blackburn and Bristol City yet. Yeah. But sadly, we are out of time. I guess that's what happens when you start talking about QPR's ownership, isn't it? Gents, it has been nothing but a pleasure having you on. I'm sure we will continue this debate over the course of the coming weeks. That was Colin Clark there and James Norris, big QPR fans. Of course, the Hoops do travel to Blackburn tomorrow, trying to avoid a fourth successive away defeat. Blackburn unbeaten in their last 8 home games against QPR. The last time the Ars won at Ewood Park was in October 1999. We'll give you all the reaction to that game, plus that game with Bristol City on Saturday too, here on the QPR Fan Show, Love Sport London, 10 p.m. Monday nights. We'll see you then.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.